Tonight I bring a lesson, a message entitled, When Jesus Passed By. And I want you to turn, first of all, to Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. And the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That's in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Now, I did have you turn to Mark. I did that on purpose, okay? And then I want to quote that other verse. What kind of things pass away? And what new things replace them? That's a good question. We could make a list. I made a short list. We like for things like dishonesty to be gone. If you were dishonest, even a little bit, even sometimes, when you come to Christ, dishonesty should pass away. And what should take its place? Honesty. Lying should be gone. And what should take its place? Telling the truth. Stealing, taken away. What do you think? That replaced with not stealing, not taking from someone, but giving to someone, giving things away. Pride should be replaced with humility. Filthy communication with, how about edification? Speaking things that build people up, not filthy communication. Impure thoughts to pure thoughts. Bad habits to good habits. Being one with the world. Being a part of the world to being separated from the world. Prayerlessness to prayerfulness. Neglect of your Bible to meditating, loving the Word of God. Unchurched to churched. We could keep going, couldn't we? You just make a long list of things. Now, honestly, what changes have taken place in your life? Now, I know you could name a list longer than what we did. I'm different than I used to be. Certainly we are. But are we finished changing? Are the old things all gone? And everything has definitely in our lives become new, and there's nothing that we need to put away now, put off the old man, put on the new. We couldn't say that, probably. There are still things. I was telling the men the other night, last night at our prayer time, you know, we just need to keep moving forward. You never need to stop growing. You're not going to get there in a lifetime. So you're not going to arrive, but you should keep striving to become more and more like Christ. You know, if we did that just a little bit every week, a little bit every month, a little bit every year, but maybe before the Lord comes for us or before He takes us and we're in His presence, maybe we would be quite different than we are even tonight. We haven't matured. We don't measure up to the fullness of the stature of Christ just yet. And we're not going to, but we certainly should be moving in that direction. When Jesus passed by is an interesting little phrase that's found in the Bible. I heard a man preach this. It was a Baptist church, but they were very charismatic. They would lift up their hands and shake. And I didn't hear any speaking in tongues, but might have gone on kind of softly in that Baptist church, but it was a sermon and an experience. I haven't forgotten it even to now, and I'm not gonna repeat his sermon, but I would like to look at a couple of these phrases in the Bible. The first one, I had you turn to Mark chapter 2, and we'll look at verses 14 and 15, and we're talking about a tax collector. Who do you think it might be? Levi was a tax collector. We think of him more as Matthew. Matthew was from the tribe of Levi. He went by the name Levi when he was a tax collector. His profession was that of collecting toll or tax because he was stationed in Capernaum. You know where Capernaum is? Right on the north tip of the Sea of Galilee. And there's a kind of a trade route. If you're going to the west of there, there's some mountains and there's there's a, they call them the horns of Hittim. There are some two peaks, and there's a kind of a valley through those peaks, and you can go over into the coastal plain. And north of there, you can go over toward, you know, going around into Asia Minor. If you were going by land, you would go that way. But it was a trade route as well in the Roman Empire. And so it was a strategic place for a tax collector, not just taxing the Galileans, but anybody who would come through there would be taxed. Pardon me just a second. I just heard my phone ring. Shame on me. That'll work. All right. He was stationed at Capernaum on that major east-west trade route. Verse 14 of Mark chapter 2 says, "And as he passed by," he's talking about Jesus, okay? "As Jesus passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom, and said unto him, 'Follow me.' And he rose and followed him. And he came, and it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house," that is Matthew's or Levi's house, "many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples, and there were many, and they followed him." There were many who followed him. Interesting. So as Levi, there are some things that we can note about him from this and other texts. As Levi, the tax collector, he was fixed on money. That's why he was a tax collector. He liked money. He liked the things that it would buy. Do you guess he was liked or disliked by the people? They hated the publicans. They hated them. His job as a publican would allow him, the Romans allowed him to extort a little bit more than what was required. He could extort a little bit of money, and he could do it as much as he wanted to, as long as it didn't cause rebellion. That was the rule. You can't cause rebellion. They can't, don't start a war here, but you can take money. And so they did. They were known for that. They were thieves. His few friends, probably, if he had any friends, were also thieves and traitors, because it takes one to love one, right? He was a rich man, and he was a taker. He was well educated. He was in need of no one, because there was no one for those types of individuals. A man of great power over others in the physical realm, in the temporal realm. He was a prophet of doom. Everybody would come to him, and he would extort money from them. So he was a prophet of doom. He kept meticulous records. He would have to know how much someone gave, how much they owed still when they walked away, and what exactly he was supposed to do. So that was Levi. That's the tax collector. And then Jesus passed by, and now we know him as Matthew in his new profession, a profession of faith. He leaves the profession of tax collecting, and he makes a profession of faith in Christ, we would say, something like that. And after Jesus passed by, there was a difference. That day, the Lord Jesus came by and said, "Follow me," and the tax collector stood up and followed Jesus, and it was different. He must have known about him. Jesus must have known Matthew, because he had ministry there in Galilee, and Matthew was certainly well known. So as we continue, notice the name change. The word Matthew means the gift of God. And certainly he was a gift of God. He was a gift of God to his people, and they cared for him. We're going to continue in verse 14. We're going to Mark chapter 3 and verse 14. We were in 2. Go to Mark chapter 3 and verse 14. It says, "He ordained 12 that they should be with him, that he might send them forth to preach, and to have power to heal the sick and to cast out devils. And Simon," he surnamed Peter, "and James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James," and he surnamed them Boanerges, which is the sons of thunder, "and Andrew and Philip and Bartholomew and Matthew, and Thomas and James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus and Simon the Canaanite and Judas Iscariot, which also betrayed him. Now, what we know of Matthew comes from the Gospels and the story of Jesus, and Matthew was there. One of those Gospels, Matthew wrote himself. So a lot of what we know, a great part of what we know, comes from his own writings. And you know, when the Lord inspired the writers of Scripture, they wrote, and you can see that there's different personalities from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and a different perspective of things, and their personality sort of comes out, even though it's the inspired Word of God. And so when you read Matthew, you get to know Matthew a little bit. He writes differently than Paul. But what do we see in him after Jesus passed by? Matthew has his heart fixed now on a different treasure, obviously. Obviously, if you've read the Gospel of Matthew, you know that. He was loved and appreciated by many of those that he had wronged. He had good friends now. His job was to give to others rather than to take, and what he was giving was more valuable than what he had taken in the beginning. So what are we doing? We're saying all things are passing away. Behold, all things are become new. And we can see it in the lives of certain individuals. And the time that all of that changed was when Jesus entered into their life, when he passed by. To those who were co-conspirators in his evil trade, you remember he had many of them, tax collectors and sinners at his house. In a feast, right after he met the Lord Jesus, there was a feast in his house. And you would assume then that he's introducing the Lord and them to the Lord and the Lord to them. And so he's making an effort to bring others to Christ at this point. He was called by Christ, who was the friend of sinners. He was called by the friend of sinners, the Lord Jesus, to be an apostle. All new friends, all good, all godly friends at this point. He was a rich man still, but as I said before, he was a giver. Well educated, but not a loner anymore. He was a people person. He was in the people business. A loner, an introvert perhaps before, and now in the people business, though dependent only upon the Lord. He was a man of great power over others still, but now it was in the spiritual realm. Now he was wielding the sword of the Spirit, and he was proclaiming the gospel, the power of God unto salvation. What a change has come over Levi, now Matthew. He was now a prophet of light. He was a prophet of hope, not a prophet of doom. And he was still keeping records, but not of the taxes that he collected. He was keeping a record of the deeds and the doctrines of Messiah because he knew that the Lord Jesus was Messiah. And he would later write those down under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And we have Matthew, the very Matthew, the tax collector, the publican Matthew. You have his words, his book in your lap tonight. God used him greatly. So what a difference. Matthew, what was the turning point in your life? He says, that's easy. It was that day that Jesus passed by. That was the turning point. He could tell you to the minute when it was. That was the day that everything changed for him. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. All things are become new. Turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. I want us to consider two men that were blind. Two men that were blind. One of them we know from Mark's gospel, and we're going to Matthew, but we know from Mark's gospel that one of them's name was Bartimaeus. There were two of them at Jericho, not just one. Jesus had come down from Galilee. He's on his way to Jerusalem, and he came down the way that most Jews would travel. It would be Transjordan, on the east side of the Jordan. He would come through Perea, And somewhere there, just above Jericho, he would cross over the fords, cross over the river to the west, and he would go through Jericho, out the other side, and up the Jericho Road, winds up the mountains to Jerusalem. And so that was the plan. He's coming down, and as he goes through Jericho, of course, people recognize him, and there's a lot of noise in the streets. He's about ready to leave. He's actually walking out of town when two blind men get wind of his presence. They couldn't see him, but they could hear the throng. They could hear people talking about him, and they knew who he was. And Matthew, the publican turned apostle, tells us about these two men in his record. Matthew chapter 20 and verse 30. Verse 30, and behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David." And the multitude rebuked them because they should hold their peace. They wanted them to be quiet. But they cried the more, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David." And Jesus stood still and called them and said, "What will ye that I shall do unto you?" They say unto him, "Lord, that our eyes may be opened." I think that's a great story. In these four verses right here, there's a lot we know, most of it from verse 30. They were blind, we know that. And therefore, obviously, dependent upon others for many of the basic necessities of life. They knew of Jesus because when they heard his name, they knew who he was. They knew of Jesus. They were confined. It says they were at the wayside. They weren't in the hustle bustle of the streets. They were sitting to the side. They were in the wayside. They were unable to pursue. They were in need of what? Mercy. They cried for mercy. Have mercy on. What does mercy mean? It's getting something. It's not getting what you deserve. Maybe they felt like they deserved to be blind, but have mercy on us, Lord. Have mercy. Show us kindness. We don't deserve it. So they're down and out. Probably beggars. And they were despised. In a sense, they were despised by others, as you see in verse 31. So I want us to consider these two men after Jesus passed by, verse 34. So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. Now that's so fast, isn't it? Don't you wish you had it just sort of described a little bit more? You have to sort of picture it in your mind about what happened. Jesus walked over to this guy. What would you have me do? "Oh, Lord, that we might receive our sight." And Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and they could see immediately. I wonder what they said. They received their sight, and they followed him. That's Matthew's report. So the difference is they could see now. They would be able to provide for themselves. They wouldn't need the assistance they had before. They knew Jesus personally, and there's been a personal reaction. They're becoming followers of him. They could enter into the way and not be in the way. They wouldn't get in anybody's way. They wouldn't be stumbled over. They could participate in society, perhaps even conduct a ministry. Do you think they would conduct a ministry? How big a deal would it be if you were blind and the Lord came and touched your eyes and immediately you had perfect vision? I think I'd do a little ministering, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you want to give him glory for it? Wouldn't you want to talk about it with others? They were able to pursue their goals, their ambitions, the blessings that they desired in life. They had the capacity to help others now who had been helped so much themselves. They were a public trophy. In Jericho, they were a public trophy of God's visit there, God's passing through there. Jesus passed by. People wanted to see them now. Don't you know when you would go to Jericho and you would hear about Bartimaeus? Bartimaeus, are you the guy that... And he could tell his story. And you would want to hear his story. Let me hear it. How did it happen? So you look at them. Bartimaeus, brothers, what was the turning point? What was the turning point in your life? It would be easy. It was when Jesus passed by. Everything was different when Jesus passed by. There was a close encounter with the Lord Jesus. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Look at one other passage, if you would, and we'll make that John chapter 9. John 9. This, too, is a story of a blind man. And I want you to consider, first of all, the man before Jesus passed by. But before we do, let me ask this question. Why do people get sick? Why are people injured? And you could probably think of several reasons. Well, maybe they get sick because they don't take care of themselves. They don't sleep at night. They eat junk food all the time. They never exercise. You could give some reasons why people get sick because of neglect of themselves, their bodies. They maybe do something foolish like start taking drugs or alcohol or tobacco or maybe get involved in immorality, thinking, oh, that's where the fun is, and end up with some dread disease. Maybe they have an accident, job-related, sports-related. They're not paying attention to what they're doing and stumble or walk into something or drive into something. Any of the above that is caused by the caregiver or just someone in close proximity. It could be an accident that's caused by someone texting while they're driving. Do you ever see that happen? Almost never, right? Texting while they're driving, or a mother who takes drugs while she's pregnant, or parents that are neglectful of their children. All of these things are reasons. You know, it could be the person's fault who's sick. It could be somebody else's fault. There's a fifth reason found in this story about why a man would be born blind. And it's a very interesting thought because it doesn't have to be restricted to just being born blind. It doesn't have to be born anything. It could be something we have become. Something that's happening to us right now. And you say, Lord, why? This is so untimely. Why are you allowing this to happen in my life right now? Let's see if you can pick it out. We'll start in verse 1. It says, and as Jesus passed by, there's our phrase, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. So there's our reason. Sometimes God lets us get into pretty deep water so he can rescue us. He allows things to happen in your life so you can trust him and people around can see him bring you out of it, bring you through the deep waters, the hard trials. Verse 4. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. As long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made a clay of the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay and said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, How were they not thine eyes open? He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. Then said they unto him, where is he? And he said, I know not. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind, and it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Now we'll stop there for now. What can we say? You could say a lot about him, really, couldn't you? He was blind. He was looked down on. Did you hear the questions the disciples asked? What did he do? Obviously did something. This sort of sounds like Job's friends. You must have done something wrong or God wouldn't let this come in your life. Well, Job was a trophy of the Lord. This man was blind so that Jesus could come along on this day and heal him. But people looked down on him and they wondered. It was a question. Who sinned? He was alone, in a sense. He was helpless. He was dependent. But consider him after the Lord came. In verse 7, he could see. In verse 10, he was respected, or at least it mattered what he said. And in verse 13, he was surrounded by people who wanted to hear his testimony. Whether they wanted to for good purposes or bad purposes, this guy was popular right now because he'd received a great miracle of the Lord. He was a preaching disciple. Look at verse 30 of chapter 9. Verse 30. The man answered and said unto them, why, herein is a marvelous thing that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened my eyes. I always have to smile when I read that verse. He was bold, wasn't he? He said what it was. And he talked back to the elders and gave them the truth. We could say, sir, what was the turning point in your life? Where did your life change? And he would say, well, that's very simple. It was the day that Jesus passed by. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And then we saw also, remember that fifth reason people get sick. It's so God can be glorified in healing them. Or maybe God can be glorified in helping them through the situation. And people watch their faith. All of these were affected, all of these individuals. There are many more, of course, whose lives were affected the day that Jesus passed by. And what do you say about today? He's no longer on the earth. Are these days of these great changes of life, are they gone? We could say, well, Jesus is not here, but God forbid that we say that the day of changed lives is gone. Now, Jesus is not here bodily, but is Jesus here? He said, I will go with you. He'll be with us always, even unto the end of the age, to the end of the world, he'll be with us. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13, it says, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. God lives in us. God lives in us. Colossians 1:27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory, of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. 1 Corinthians 12:27, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 15, for we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, Christ liveth in me. He says, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Galatians 2:20. Brothers and sisters, Jesus is not here, but we are. And we represent Christ to people. There ought to be those in my life and in your life, and they can say that their life changed when Jesus passed by. Because we are His representatives. We are the body of Christ. He lives in us. His life is being lived out in our bodies. And in a very true and real spiritual sense, they meet Jesus through us. In my previous ministry, one of them down in Pennsylvania, I had the privilege of, I bought a chainsaw. I went to this Daniel's Lawn and Garden was the name of it. There was a kind of a chunky guy standing in there, gruff looking. And his name was Barry. I started talking to Barry. And I took my chainsaw back a couple of times, and Barry and I kind of struck up a little friendship. And I learned pretty quickly that he was struggling. He was stumbling into drugs. Didn't know the Lord. Didn't know of the Lord. One of those. Really rough. Sometimes a little bit foul-mouthed. After several failures, he said that he prayed if he ever gets stupid again with this drug thing, he said he hoped the Lord would kick him. And I thought, there's the door. And I told him about the Lord. He listened intently, didn't do anything right then. He came to church a couple of times, and I read this thing. I think I read it to you one time, called Witch Resurrection. It's a story of a man who died and went to hell. And it was told in the first person in his own words. And it was moving. Well, it lit the fire for Barry. He came and he said, can I get a copy of that? I said, sure. He came by the church and I gave him a copy. And the next day he came and he said, I want to get saved. And he got saved. He accepted the Lord as his personal Savior that very night. What a blessing. Barry, what was it with you? It was the day when Jesus passed by. And not me. It's the Lord, right? It's not us. It's the Lord in us. It's what we represent of Him. It's the goodness and the godness of us. It's the message that we carry. It's the desire of our heart. It's the love that they see in us. And they would say it's when Jesus was introduced, when I was introduced to Jesus by whoever. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. What difference did Jesus make in your life? Is it over? I mean, is it done? You already grew up. You're as big as you're going to get. You're as mature as you're going to get spiritually. If that's you, you're called stagnant. Because you haven't arrived yet. And I haven't arrived yet. I have a long ways to go before I'll be holy like God is holy. And I know that I won't make it until I stand in front of Him. And however far I've gone, He's going to take me the rest of the journey in an instant. And I'll be in His presence and I'll be like Him. And my body will be new and glorious. And it'll be a wonderful experience to live without sin and the effects of sin. But I hope when I see Him that I will have I will have been moving in the right direction. How about you? What makes the difference? It's being close to Jesus. It's being close to the Lord. It's knowing Him through the Word and having fellowship with Him every day. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I wonder to whom my influence will represent the Lord Jesus in the next days. How about you? Who will see Jesus in you tomorrow or the next day? My heart is moved by these things now. Simple, simple truths. And I pray that our hearts will be moved. That we'll be becoming like Christ. We will continue to be becoming more and more like Christ. And that we'll live Him before others. Let's pray. Father, I thank You again for Your Word. Lord, I praise You for the simple truths and for the little implications that we see in stories like those that we've shared briefly tonight. I pray that You would help us, Father. Help us, I pray, to be doers of the Word, to consider our own lives, what's passed away, what needs to pass away, and what needs to become new. And Father, help us not to quit growing until it's over, until we're in Your presence. I thank You in advance for what You'll do. In Jesus' name, amen.